Got to have this highly saturated blue, or you've got to have a highly saturated green in order to get a clean key. Okay, the truth of this whole thing is that any pure blue or any pure green between a 3 and a 7 value on your grayscale will key out. And you can use all of the steps of blue between a 3 and a 7 at the same time in your background, and it will key out. Same thing with a green. In other words, you can paint your company logo. You can paint a portrait of your boss. You can have your favorite senator. You can have a map of Alaska, whatever you happen to like up there, done in a number of shades of blue. You want to use it as the key, go ahead and it just keys right out. So we don't have to worry about that one. Now, the next fallacy that you have is the more light you can put on the plate back there, the better your key is going to be. All right? Now, that is the starting point that we want to talk about. And we'll start our demonstration with that one. Now, before we start the demonstration, let's take a look at chroma key process itself. Now, this is a very complex and complicated process, and some very fine engineers have tried to explain it to me in detail, and I'm awfully sorry, but they have failed. I haven't the remotest idea why it does that, but I do know what it needs to make it do it, so let's stick there, shall we? Now, here are the points that we should consider. What we are trying to do, essentially, and very simplified, is we select a keying color. Now, in this instance, we have green, all right? So, essentially, you blind the green channel in your camera, so it doesn't see anything that's green. So wherever there would be green in your picture, your camera sees black, because there's nothing there as far as it's concerned. Now, where you have those black areas in your picture, electronically, you cut matching pieces out of your main subject, and you put the two together, and the main subject appears where the holes had been in your key. Are you still with me? Now, you put those in there, and you have a composite picture. All right? Now, if you're going to do that, that now addresses something else which is important, which is that the plate color should be a pure color. For example, we've decided green, right? We have blinded the green channel. Now, if you have a pure green up here, you're fine. But if you've got a green now that has some other color in it, that color will appear where there should be a hole, and you get a bad key. Now, your engineers can adjust the clippers on this, the cutters on the keying signal, so that you get rid of that extra color. But it always results in a key which is marginal. In other words, any little thing will throw it because the adjustment's too delicate. If you use a pure green or a pure blue, you haven't got this problem. Okay? Have I confused you? You look baffled. No? Okay. It's just that if...
I think, in my mind, I was confused as to whether you talked about it did not have to be highly saturated, but it does have to be pure. Is that what we're
right.
saying here?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Should be pure.
Determine if it's pure. I mean, where do you see
okay.
The
it's very simple. For your basic color in green, use a chrome green paint or a chrome green dye. It has nothing else in it. If you're using blue, use a cobalt blue. That's pure. Don't get any of the other fancy little things people like to offer you. So if you use either cobalt blue or chrome green, you have a pure color, and you don't have to worry about it. The thing will work. All right? Fine. Now, why would you choose a blue background or a green background? It has to do with what you want to have your as your subject to be keyed in. Now, for example, when I started keying with Walter Cronkite, you all know, Walter Cronkite has baby blue eyes. And with a blue key, they keyed out beautifully. Now, we know that news people think about news all the time, but we don't want to see them do it. You know? So, green key for him. Walter Cronkite has perhaps 462 suits in his wardrobe. They're all blue. He has thousands of neckties, all blue. It's his favorite color. So, I can't use a blue key because he'd key out all over the place and become invisible, and I don't want that. So we use a green key. If you have somebody with green eyes who likes green wardrobe, blue key, okay? So either one will work. It doesn't make any difference. Now, the executive vice presidents and members of the board of the station have kindly agreed that they would lend me a key here. So now let's just light up the situation here, shall we, and see what we can do. Now, I have asked the executive vice presidents and directors of the board of directors here to set this key up and not touch it and let us ruin it, okay, by experiment. So let's invite our victim to come up here and sit down and be comfortable. Now, let me get my plot here, and the vice president in charge of things of that nature and I will get together and see what we can do. Could we have the 54, 56, 58, and 40 combination? Okay. May we put on 24? Yep. Could we put out the garage lights just in passing? they were left over from something. Okay, fine. Now, just in case that might not be bright enough down there, let's see if we can get a little more light in here just to be helpful. And now, this is what people tell us we need, okay? A lot of engineers, a lot of them too, will tell you that this is what you need. The more light I can give you back there on the plate, the happier they're going to be about the whole thing. Now, I imagine you can see the plate back there all right? Okay, now let's ask the executive vice president here to please give us 70, 72. Okay, and let's put in 71. And let's put in 70 just for a little general fill light because that will help the plate back there in case you can't see it in this light. Okay. Now, the subject is normally lighted. Let's see what happens with the key.
We're working on it.
Hey, Val, you might check and see if it's that monitor mode or not.
Yeah, well, it's linked into here, or it's not going anywhere.
While we're getting the machinery to work here, let's just measure what we're working with to see how we stand. I have on the subject my meter, as those of you who looked at it this morning recognize, is marked off in 50s. So take my word for it, we got about 120 on on the subject here. Now let's see what we've got on the plate. About 325 on the plate. Okay, we got pictures yet?
1 second.
Okay, now, one of the prime considerations when you're working on chroma key and I would like to underwrite again the word prime, is to be sure that your subject is as far away from the plate as you can get. All right? Because if you are anywhere close to the plate, you're going to get reflection from the plate back onto the hair, to the clothing, and you've lost your key right away. So it's essential that you have room, space, in here. Okay, now, I've got a little light that's bothering you there. Let's take out 70, and let's put in 75 instead. I can see it better. Tilt it so you can see it. That's all. I'll walk down there.
Everybody happy with that?
Okay, now. Now, we're set up. They're not going to do anything with the key. Now let's start in and see what we can do. Let's start here because it's easier to do. Tell me if that in any way affects the key. Anything happen? I don't think so. No, shouldn't think it would. Let's take out 24. Okay. Let's take out number 58. Let's take out 54. Nothing happened. Let's take out number 56. Let's take out number 40. Now, that was the one too much, you see. Let's put back number 40 again. Right. Okay. Now, let's see what happened. We haven't changed the subject. It's just where we were. Well, the plate came down to about 60-foot candles, most of which is reflection from the floor, frankly. We came from 350 down to 60-foot candles. Doesn't make any difference. Okay? That indicates that the fact that you have to have all the light you can get on the key is not true. The truth is, the less light you can put on the background without breaking up your key, the more stable your key is going to be. A rule of thumb is that the light on the plate should never be brighter than the key light on the subject. Okay? Now, the reason for that is very simple. And if you will think about it for a minute, I think you will agree. If you put too much light on that plate, that is going to reflect down on your subject. It's going to show in the hair, it's going to show in the shoulders, going to show in any furniture, show in the floor, and immediately that key's out. So by cutting light off of the background, you do away with that reflection problem, right? And that is the reason for holding it down. And to avoid fading your nice blouse there, why don't we let you go and sit over here again for a moment? And just so you could see it yourself, maybe you would like to nominate one of the guests here to go and sit in just so you could see a key and see how it looks like, see what it looks like. That's only fair, isn't it? You've had a nice time sitting here looking at that. Okay. the little wiggle in it has nothing to do with the key. That's merely skewing in the receiver. Okay, that's what you look like. Thank you. Now, if we have the house light up a little bit, please, just, that's number 57. That's right, and I can tell you if you're still there. Now, I'm going to tell you a little story here to prove what it is that I've talked about, and I've proven it any number of times, but this one might make it clear. I was invited about 2 years ago, I guess now, to do a seminar for Access Incorporated in Alberta, Canada. Access is the educational channel for Alberta. They have a wonderful studio, terrific staff, great people. I went up there, and they showed me a tape which they had made under a new contract, which they had worked out with the Alberta government. They had received a contract to do 36 20-minute short subjects on the life of the Cree Indian, who apparently lives around Alberta. Anyway, they showed me a tape, and I was fascinated by it. I thought it was one of the best things I had ever seen in television. They said they thought it was pretty good, too, but they were afraid that they were going to go bankrupt because of the contract. And I said, I don't understand why. So they said, well, they had had such a time doing this one short subject. It had taken them 8 days in the studio to get the 20-minute short recorded because of problems with the chroma key. I said, I don't understand why that should be a problem. So what they had was stick puppets. You know what stick puppets are? Silhouette puppets of the Indians. And they were wonderful silhouette puppets made out of cardboard. The best joint I had ever seen. And the operator works behind a parapet. And with the sticks, you know, he makes them move. It's very interesting. And then someone on staff had made a whole series of beautiful watercolor sketches of Canadian habitat of the Cree Indian, and they'd keyed the two together. So they said, with the chroma key, by the time they got to the point where they couldn't see the sticks, you know, everything else was coming apart, and they had a terrible time. So I said, well, to start the afternoon demonstration, would it be possible to set up exactly what you had? So they said, yes, everything's in place except the plate, and we can have a puppeteer come in and set up one puppet. So when we came back from lunch, they had the black parapet and one character with an Indian puppet, and they had the plate. And the plate was a piece of blue indoor-outdoor carpet, which was hung up against the psych and slanted down to the floor. So I said, do you have the actual light you were using? Yes, it's all in place. Now, you won't believe this one, but honest. They turned on 22 2,000-watt scoops. 44,000 watts came on. That's a lot of light. I don't care what you do. So I'm standing back of the camera looking at this thing, trying to figure out what's the matter with this. Why shouldn't it key? I said, wait a minute. So I got my handy-dandy little grayscale, and I went up to the indoor carpet, and I measured it, and it measured a number 9 on the scale. Now, number 9 on the grayscale reflects 4% of the light that's falling upon it. This carpet is absorbing all of this light to begin with, you see. So I said, do you have any blue gel? So they said, well, look. So they rummaged around in the bureau drawers, and after a while they came up with 4 sheets of blue gelatin, 4 different sheets, 4 different colors of blue. So I said, could you make those up in frames? Which they did, and we put them up. And I said, now, could you take down the blue carpet and let's just use your gray psych, which was give or take like this, but it could be pulled flat. And I said, okay, take out everything now except the 4 scoops, which we'd scattered around sort of like this a little further downstage, so I got better spread. So we made the key fine. Now we went from 44,000 down to 8,000 without affecting the key. In fact, the key was just as good. And I said, just for fun, would you take out two scoops? So they took out two scoops. We're now down to 4,000 from 44,000. Key's fine. I said, one more scoop? So they took out one more, 2,000. Key's fine. 2,000 from 44,000. And of course, having gotten rid of that flare of light and all the reflection that it engendered, you didn't have any trouble with the puppets or anything like that. It was fine. So I said, we proved the point, but I don't know what we proved, and we're being a little nuts if we try this. Why don't you set up six scoops, which would cover a nice area back there, and get six pieces of blue gel, all of which are the same color, not that it matters, and put those in there. And they did, and that's what they used to finish the series. So I'm telling you again, a factual thing, that you just don't need all that light. So try and make it simple. And because it can be so simple and so completely dependable now, because you're not fighting all those reflections, because it can be so dependable, we're going to use it, and we're going to use it more and more. Now, just think how this can be used to enhance what you're doing, how this can be used to increase the scope of the things that you're doing. I think I told you about the president and Winter down below there. I don't think I did mention that there was one at Fort Gordon in Georgia where they had a metalworking shop and a major general in the shop showing all this machinery going and whatnot, and he's trying to explain the importance of the product from a military standpoint that is being made in this shop. Well, you've worked in metalworking shops, I think, you know, with punches and drills and breaks, and it's going scree, boom, clank, crash. And this poor guy's trying to say something down here. Tape was useless. I said, why don't you remake it? Take one camera, your second unit camera, and shoot the shop. Record the noise that's going on out there. Take the general somewhere else and put him against a chroma key plate and photograph him well lighted in an area where he can be heard. And then do an audio mix and put the two together, chroma key. Fine. Okay, so it's not authentic with him in the shop. Do you think anybody cares? I don't either. I don't think anybody would care even if they knew. So it's going to be a great tool, and its use is going to open no end of doors to you. Because don't forget, there's a lot of things you can do here. For example, you can take a 4-foot-wide flat or a 3-foot-wide flat, as long as it's wider than the vice president, okay? And lean that against anything, the hallway, your own office, anywhere, doesn't matter. Put your subject in front of that. Excuse me. Then take some green strips of the same color that you're using, and set them up here somewhere and light them in relation to your camera, your 3-foot pieces back there. Put them up here somewhere, and you shoot those, balance the light between those and that, and it'll look as if you're using a 30-foot piece back there. See? You're merely taking up the rest of the frame, because that little 3-foot piece you got is going to be right down here, and you're going to use that gobo to carry it off. You with me? And it just makes it simple. You can shoot this anywhere and then go out and shoot whatever you want. If you want some of those beautiful mountains back there in the background and it's cold out, dress up one person nice and warm with the earmuffs and go out and shoot that, and then put your subject in somewhere where it's warm and put the two together, and you haven't got any problem, didn't cost anything. Okay? Now, these are all things which are practical. And you're just going to be able to do so many things that you don't think you can do now. All right, so much for the chroma key. Now, we'll leave that there for the moment.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Instead of using, you might have said this and I missed it, instead of using a green painted backdrop, can you project green light?
Sure. Yeah, of course. The green light works just as well. You'll have to be careful that you pick out a pure green gel, which you can judge by eye, and use that. Of course, that will work. You have to be careful about stray light in the studio, then, or you're going to wash it.
I see. Also, is there a selection of clothes that would look best?
No.
There's always a halo.
No. The only thing that you have to be careful of in wardrobe is if you're going to use a green key, don't use green clothing or a green necktie or a green hair ribbon or something, because that'll key out. It tends to make a hole. You know?
What causes that halo around...
ordinarily, it is reflection.
So that means that the subject is too close.
You're either too close or the background's too bright. See, it's particularly apparent in hair. If you have hair like yours, which is very soft around the edges, that tends to break that up anyway, a little bit, and you tend to get the illusion of its being broken up because you're partially shadow and you're seeing the green through a transparent mass that way. So you have to be careful of that. But you had one.
Well, yeah, she asked the question I was going to ask, but in line of what you're saying there, would that mean that you would decrease your backlight a little bit then?
Yes, yes, yeah. Now, that brings up another one here. I've usually asked, is there an advantage in using a colored backlight, the opposite color as a backlight? I've read this in many cases, and I've used it myself. You know, for instance, if you're going to use a green key, use a magenta or a dark pink backlight. Or if you're going to use blue, use an amber or a straw backlight. The idea being that that will counteract any reflection. Well, I don't think it does any harm if you want to do it. I don't think it does any good either. You know, but if you feel happier about it, go ahead and use it. It won't hurt a thing. Right? It doesn't really counteract it. It would counteract something if you were on the same plane. See, with the shoulders being curved, the head being both shiny and multi-planed here, you don't get the light on the same planes from the front, the back, and your added color from the back. They just never get together, that's all. I suppose you could if you spent enough time on it, but it's too much trouble because you just don't need it. Okay? All right. Now, I would like to address ourselves momentarily here to a one-to-one interview. Okay? Yes, that's right. That's what you thought, wasn't it?
Yes.
Of course. Now, we're going to ask the star this time to play a very special role this time. So you are the interviewer from our station here.
All
you
right.
are the professional.
Okay.
Now, whenever you do an interview between a professional and a guest of some sort, you must depend upon your professional to control the guest, because the guest really doesn't know what to do, doesn't particularly care. All the guest wants to do is to get on camera. Okay? So, let's invite somebody here who is not too much taller than you are. How about the gentleman back here? Come on down and act. Now, I haven't had an opportunity to introduce this gentleman to you here. This gentleman is a very famous author. He has just written a book which is the bestseller in Anchorage. It is selling so well in all of the local bookstores here that they just can't get enough copies of this book to meet the demand. His book here is the well-known one which you've all been anxious to read, on how you grow parsnips. Right? So something obviously you've always wanted to do. So we're going to have them interviewed here. Now let's see what we can do. Let's take away the stool here. We'll accept the background here as being something that happened to be there. And we're going to place the people about in here somewhere. And you're going to stand up. This was. I'm sorry, we didn't have budget enough on this remote to be able to hire two chairs, so you sort of have to stand up. Now stand down here where I can get at you. Okay. Now, let's get several people to work here to help. And would somebody up there take one of those stand lights and just aim it in this general direction? Okay, let's get somebody else to fiddle around with one over here and get it down here.
Hey, Osberg, get to work.
Okay. All right, now let's raise that up and flood it out and aim it right across these two people. All right. Now, right down there, right opposite this one. Don't let it tip down too much or you be off of them. That's all right. That's going to work fine. Now, turn that on. Okay. Now, can we get a picture of this from one camera or the other?
Did you have him punch up on?
Now, here's what we have to do. See, the guest here is the key person in this interview. Mm-hmm. All right? The interviewer is the visually second important person in the show. So we're going to put you down here.
Okay.
Like this. Oh, anyway, like this. Now you're going to turn him a bit, and you're going to turn in here like this.
Okay.
Now let's adjust this spot so I'm getting light on her face. Maybe you just bring the whole thing in so I get it brighter. I'm working with very dim lights here. That's the idea. That's it. Fine. Okay, now. What I'm doing here now, as you see, let's put out the backlight, which is, I had my cue sheet around here somewhere. What did I do with it?
It's right here. It's right on the chair there. Yeah.
Thank you. Could we put out 71, please? And let's put out 72 and 75. Okay, now, stand in that and I can't see anything at all. Can we get that brighter on the camera? I've got more light on here than that, haven't I? I've got more light than that there, I know. Now, when we go out to set up an interview like this, here we are, I thought they weren't in quite that much fog.
Somebody take the color up on that monitor, just turn the color up a little bit.
Now we want to show both of the people, that's right. Good. Now what we're trying to do here now is we are setting up a quick and dirty two-light remote. Which presumably has a certain amount of daylight around or additional light, which is not really going to make much difference to anything. But let's just, for the sake of argument, let's put on 72. That's on a dimmer, isn't it? Yes. Let's put on 72. Now, this is the daylight that's smearing around. Now, let's bring that down on the dimmer a little bit. Hold everything right there. Now, your camera, as it is placed now, is accenting the famous author, as we want it to do, because that's the person you really wanted to hear from. The interviewer over here has several jobs in addition to the questions. The interviewer must make sure that her shadow does not fall upon the famous author, right? Now, I tell you that, knowing, you see, that because you are such a ham, you're not going to let his shadow fall on you, so I don't have to worry about that, right? See, the very fact that I placed you here so that I could keep him aimed in that direction. You speak to each other, of course. You're right. Not unfriendly. So just move in a little bit. Now you got to keep his shadow. It's right on your face, you see, and I'm surprised at you. Because I didn't think you'd let that happen. Now, you see, I think you'd probably move down this way a little bit so that his shadow went the other way. You see, that's better. Now, you are essentially a little bit with your back to the camera.
Right.
But because you're such a ham, you're not going to let that happen, are you?
No.
you're going to sneak it. That's what I thought you would do, you see. I don't have to worry about you. I knew you would take care of yourself. You ask a question. That's what you would do exactly, you see. You've been an interviewer. I know that. You've been in somebody's news department because you do that. Now, what we've done here, you see, let's take out what we got on there, a center scoop here, 40 or 55 or 6 or something. Let's take that out. That's what I wanted to do. Now you see, what we have done here, we have separated these people from the background very easily with only two lights. Okay? This is stray daylight up here. Don't count that. Each one of them has a backlight. Each one of them has a key light. And it's a more interesting picture than if we take one of these lights, which I would appreciate somebody doing, and put it right down there alongside the camera channel. I'm not going to put that one down there. It doesn't have enough string. Knew somebody would figure that out if I asked them. Now, we'll keep this out of the picture. And you see, if we did the old trick of putting a light right alongside the camera, you see what happens? This is typical of so many one-to-one interviews that I see here. You've got a light which is too close. You don't have either room enough or something to get away from here to pull it back. Maybe that'll move back a little bit. Would you mind grabbing it and pulling it away from the subject a little bit? But right away it flattens everything out and it becomes a relatively uninteresting picture. But now, you see, you can get a picture which is modeled. With that front light, you've introduced some shadows in that you don't really want, you see. So with a situation like this, you're better off with the opposition theory of lighting, where they just face each other and you juggle them around a little bit so you get the best camera angle. There's no definite position for these in relation to the camera. Maybe that you want to bring that one down and you want to bring this one back a little bit, you know, change the axis of the thing just a little bit, wherever you think you get the best picture. Now, could I point out something to you? It doesn't take 1 second longer to set something like this up than it does to put the light down by the camera, and you get a better picture. Now, let us suppose that you have gone out, and this is a deluxe remote, you know, a really high-class operation. You got three lights. How about that? Now, what we would... Beg pardon?
This is a big budget.
Oh, we're getting into the big bucks. Yeah, absolutely. What we would do there, I think, is take some diffusion material, and I do so have some here somewhere. We'll put that on the face of this one here. Who was my most experienced clothespin clipper? You can put this on the... just on the front barn door there. Now, this will accomplish several things, you see. It will dim the light down. It will give me a highly diffuse light. You'll have to pin the one up on the other side or it'll melt. Oh, have another clothespin, no additional cost. Now, let's see if you can maybe get another foot or so away with that light. And now we're getting what we want. See, now, with that extra fill light in there, you're protected from any angle, you're still modeled, and it's never flat. Okay? So, so much for that one. Thank you. I hope that they get copies of your book because I know that you have the potential of tremendous sale. There's no question about it. Okay, now, let's address next one of the things that come up a great deal, I know, in all the operations I've ever been involved in, which is, let's say, a panel in which you have an executive vice president and four or five other vice presidents who are discussing the company's future. And you're seated around on the stage and then you're going to be interviewed. Okay? Fine. Have we got a director in the midst here who will admit it?
Yeah. Every one of us.
A director?
Any one of us.
Yeah. I want a director. Who's the director?
He's the director.
Well, come on down here and direct then. Organize a panel, will you?
Organize a panel. How many do we want?
Let's get a moderator, you know, the executive vice president,
right,
and three ordinary vice presidents.
Three ordinary vice presidents. Okay.
Yeah.
President, vice president, vice president, the vice president. Bring your chairs.
That's right. Now you set them up. The light centers are on the red lights, so red dots. So do what you want to.
Vice president, Diane, you're vice president. Come on. Oh, Rocky, sorry. Make you a vice president. Sit back there, Diane. We got... See? Huh?
You've been demoted already? Boy, that didn't last long, did it? No. Who we got?
We got Rocky right there. He's... See, she's... Quite right.
Oh, fine. All right, now. Don't go away. Who's the moderator?
The president.
Which was the president?
Oh, this young moderator.
Oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. Well, now, can you and I argue?
Sure.
Okay. As a reformed director, I feel that I have a right to argue with fellow directors. All right? Now, I would not place the moderator in the middle of a group because you make it very difficult for yourself to shoot, see? And when you do this, you're going to have to keep a camera on the moderator, okay? Because the moderator may say something of importance at any time.
You didn't tell me how many cameras I had. We just have one camera?
No, let's say that, for sake of argument, that you've got three.
Okay.
All right? Or anyway, two. Let's settle for two.
Well, it makes it a little tougher, but I can handle it.
Yeah, all right. Now, see, if you have one on the president there,
mm-hmm,
which you got to keep. Now you got one more,
yeah,
and you don't know who's going to get into the argument. So you're whipping back and forth here, trying to figure them out.
One for camera people.
I know,
no,
but
yeah,
you know,
it's too
it's too tough. Now also, it means that the president has to play tennis all the time here because talking to people here. So I think you'd find that it's easier from all aspects if we park the president right here. Okay?
Sure.
Now, okay, now, see, if we plan it this way, you can put one camera over here, right? And we got a shot of the president.
Mm-hmm.
You can widen your zoom lens and we get the rest of them.
Right.
Okay? Now, you can put a camera down here, see, back in here where the monitor is, let us say, and we can get head-on shot of the vice presidents, and we can open up and we got a profile of the president.
Right.
Just easier to do.
Right.
All right, now, could we suggest that we bring the president down this way a little bit so that you are facing the people? Don't forget your camera's over there,
right,
and there isn't anybody out here. That's just the camera that's getting you that. Now, let's bring you down just a little bit this way. What I want to do here, no, just make a curve this way. That's it. You curve in a little bit, too. So, see, you're talking to the moderator because your camera's over here. Okay. Now, in order to do that, the president's going to have to move up stage about 6 inches because you're blocking back the other. That's it. Okay, fine. All right? Now, see, what I'm trying to do here is to place those chairs in a position where my single camera here that's covering them can move on a close-up from one to the other without having to refocus. So you're the same focal distance. Now, see, that allows you to isolate the president, right? Or you can isolate the speakers over here.
Mm-hmm.
And if your panel should get into a heated argument, right? And these two people get in a fight, you know,
mm-hmm,
you can concentrate on the president or you can concentrate on him and you can eliminate them. Mm-hmm. Now, somebody laughed at that when I said get in a fight. Quite some years ago, I directed a panel show in Los Angeles on the air, Don Lee Television, and I had our station anchorman as the moderator. And I had seven people out here, who were candidates for mayor of Los Angeles and were about to run in the primary there. The argument got so heated that the two people on the end got into the gal-dangest fist fight you have ever seen in your life. Now, I don't know what you do in a case like that, you know? What I did, I just got off of the whole thing and went back to the station and I ran a musical film to fill in. But of course, we watched the fight in the truck, you know? And it was a good fight. And the guy on the end got knocked out cold. And he won the election. That was Sam Yorty, who was mayor of Los Angeles for years, if you remember. So this can happen. So you always have to have an alternate plan,
right,
you know.
Yeah.
You've got to have that reel that you always have standing by there.